In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the Sunday of the little month, the Sunday of Nessi. This day is only 6 days. It's only one Sunday during this little month. And as I mentioned before, towards the end of the Coptic year, the church is focusing on the end of time. And it's very clear from the readings from Vespers, Matins, and the liturgy, this is what the theme is. Is to put before us the judgment, the end of time. And why does the church do this? Because every time we think of the end of time, it's a moment or a time for us to do some introspection, to look within ourselves and to consider the way that I've been living and what things need to be changed in my life to be prepared for that day in which we will stand before the just judge. And I think, you know, as we take the opportunity at the end of the year, the Coptic year, to do this introspection, to look at our lives, we often look and say and identify perhaps the problems in our life. And perhaps we even make resolutions to say, okay, I want to change this particular part in my life. But as many of you, myself being the first, we'll make these resolutions and then we'll find a couple of days or weeks or months after the new year, we break these resolutions. And I think we need to talk a little bit about the virtue of self-control. If we can say maybe the reason why we don't fulfill the resolutions is because maybe there's a lack of self-control in my life. There's a beautiful proverb that Solomon says regarding self-control. He says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So he's likening a person's self-control, the rule over my own self, as like a city. The one who can rule himself is like a fortified city with walls around it that is secure. But the one that does not have self-control is like a city whose walls are broken down, where the enemy enters and exits at will. And we'll find this perhaps in our life, is that you'll find the devil is sometimes toying with me, right? Where he goes in and out and he tempts me and I fall and he leaves and I'm okay and he comes in and tempts me as if there's no resistance whatsoever when the enemy comes to attack. Perhaps it's because there's a lack of self-control. What is self-control? When we speak about self-control, plainly put, it's the dominance over the self or over one's desire. You know, we have a will and we've been created with a will. And it's that will or our will that governs our actions, what we choose to do and what we choose not to do or refrain from doing. So simply put, it's the dominance over this will or this person's desire. So for example, if during the fasting period I see a cake, the self-control would be not to lend my hand and to eat of it. At the times where I'm browsing the internet and there's an explicit picture that comes up, the impulse to click it out and to get rid of it is exhibiting self-control. Or perhaps hearing gossip, the self-control would be to disengage this conversation or to change or end the conversation altogether. This is the self-control that perhaps many of us, myself being the first, that we lack. We'll speak about a couple of points about the need for self-control, the difficulty, why it's difficult to control oneself, and lastly, developing self-control. Just 3 points in each of these we all will discuss. So what is the need for self-control? Why is it so important? If you think about it, the nature of sin itself is enslaving. The nature of sin is enslaving. Every sin has an element of attraction to get us to return to this sin once again. There is something in every sin that is built in that wants us to keep, you know, coming back. For example, lying. Lying, it's very convenient. So what keeps us coming back is the element of convenience. I can perhaps manipulate and get what I want by lying. So it keeps us coming back. Gambling, the thrill of the unknown or anticipation, keeps us coming back. And perhaps the desire or the pleasure of making money without working for it, right? It keeps us coming back to gambling. Cursing. Some people look at cursing as those who curse have a perceived authority. So this perceived authority makes me come back. When I curse, it shows my peers that I'm strong and therefore a sense of presence and authority. Or there's a social acceptance in cursing. I might feel cool or in the know. You'll find this very common. Those young youth who come from Egypt and they'll come here to the US and to the States and they'll find all the peers in schools they're cursing. So in order to fit in, they begin cursing like them because they want to feel accepted and cool among their peers. So there's certain elements of peer pressure. So this keeps us coming back to the sin. Pornography, alcohol, and drugs. There's a known pleasure sensation that's associated and keeps us coming back. So there's the nature of sin itself is enslaving. All the more reason why we need to work on self-control. My beloved God, out of His love for us, created us with free will. Because He loved us, He gave us the ability to choose right from wrong. Had we not been loved by Him, we would be machines. And only He would dictate everything in our life. But out of His love for us, He gives us the ability to choose, even to choose against His own commandments. The one who loves us said everything, all the commandments, before us, out of love and protection for us, He gave us the ability to choose against His own commandments. So sin is enslaving, and then we have the free will, all the more reason again to work on self-control. And lastly, we will be judged according to our choices. So sin is enslaving, and we have free will to choose to do sin or not. And then based on those choices is how we will be judged in the end of time. Listen to what St. Paul says in Corinthians. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We must all appear before His judgment seat. "That each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So he says, all of us will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll receive the reward whether we've done good or done bad. What is the difference here? It's the choice. It's the will. It's the choice that I make to do good or the choice that I make to do bad. And if you look in Revelations, the book of Revelation, in the second to last chapter, listen to what is said here. St. John says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So what's written in the books is our works, our choices, right? Our will, what our will chooses to do. This is why self-control is so important. And this is why, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit that St. Paul lists in Galatians, the very last one is self-control. So the crown of all of the fruit is love, because God is love, and of Him proceeds everything. And then what brings out the rear is self-control. Because if I have no self-control, all the other fruit are unattainable. To be kind, gentle, generous, all these things can't be done unless there is self-control, right? There are many things out there in the world that are competing for control over you. Believe it or not, this is the reality. If we think about like self-control being a fruit of the Spirit, so this is something of God. The Spirit here is of God. So self-control is something of God. So why mention it at all is because there is an opposing enemy who wants to control you. There's an enemy out there who wants to control you. And that's the end. And the ultimate manifestation of this is demon possession. And we see it very clearly in the Bible, where the demon-possessed man was, you know, thrown to the floor and he was foaming to his mouth, and he often cut himself and harm himself, right? So ultimately, this is what Satan wants. He wants control over you. So it makes sense for us to consider seriously the virtue of self-control and to try to work on it. Why is it difficult for us to control ourselves? Many reasons. I'll just mention three. Number one is human nature. It's very difficult because of our very nature, our very own corrupt nature, the fallen nature. Listen again to what St. Paul says. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal." So now he's speaking about himself. And then you'll see in a minute the challenge that St. Paul has even within himself. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Look at the dilemma he's facing. And he's not alone. I share the same dilemma, and perhaps you share the same dilemma as well. Where you look at and you see, there are things in my life that I hate. There are certain sins that I hate. But I find myself going back to them, and I don't know why. This is the very nature of humanity, the fallen nature. The as we say in some other prayers, you know, in the church, that we are drawn to sin from our infancy. We are drawn to sin because this is the nature that we've inherited. So simply, it is difficult because of human nature. That's why if you leave a person by themselves, human nature alone, without the grace of God, it will be go towards destruction. It will go towards destruction. The second reason perhaps why it's difficult is the carnal pleasures of sin. The carnal pleasures of sin. Sin provides an immediate gratification. And it disguises and kind of convinces us that this immediate gratification will last. But as you and I know, this is very far from the truth. We get the immediate gratification. Then what's associated afterwards? Oftentimes, there's fear associated, there's shame associated with it, and there's guilt associated. So it's really not pleasure in the sense of joy and happiness when these things follow up and there's suffering afterwards. When we allow our desires to control us, forgive me for saying it, but we become like the animals. The animals which are driven by their instinctive desires with neither dominance nor control. What differs us between animals is that we have the power of the will. When the animal is hungry, they will kill and eat. When you and I get hungry, we can allow ourselves to starve and perhaps suffer, but I won't harm another person. I'd rather myself perish than harm another person or eat another person. Because we have this will, we put some principles of morality higher than the desire to perhaps eat or experience some kind of pleasure. So it's very difficult to control oneself because of the pleasures of sin. Lastly, it's difficult to control oneself because of peer pressure, because of our surroundings, those who are around us. Sometimes, my beloved, we allow those who are around us to control us. We allow our peers to control us because we ultimately value what people think of us greater than anything else. I would be willing to go in the midst of sin so I can gain social acceptance and praise from other people. Here, my beloved, we put the control of my own life in another person's hand. It's as if all of us, our bodies, God gave us to be the drivers, to control whether we go right or left. Once I give up this control to others, I take the back seat and I allow a stranger or somebody else to drive my body for me and take me wherever he wishes. You'll say, "Abuna, but this isn't the case. No one controls me. I make my own decisions." Don't be fooled. There are people there who can control us. Especially for the young youth, they're more vulnerable, but even as adults, we'll find our co-workers can control us. We'll find our peers in our school can control us by what they say, right? And their comments that they make about us. And they might make fun of us for fasting, so we say, I can't fast in front of them. So now who's in the driver's seat? It's others, right? This is why St. Paul warns us. He says, he tells us, do I seek then to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So he says they're total opposites. I can't be a bondservant of Christ, but then please men. Because they go in opposite directions. If I please God, I will certainly be unpopular with my peers and with the rest of society. Perhaps here in the church it will be different, because most of us have a common goal and a common mind, and this is why we're one body and we're here to support one another. But then when I go out to the world and I begin to express my faith and act out my faith, this is very unpopular, right? I saw a video, maybe some of you saw it as well. There's a famous football player, his name is Drew Brees, right? He came out and he said, he encouraged in just a few statements that there's a day, I forget, October 3rd or something like that, is take your Bible to school day. So he's encouraging the Christians to take their Bibles to school and to live out their faith. The amount of backlash he got from social media because of this and the accusations that were placed upon him, that he's a bigot, he's mishadafei, all of these things. Why? Because he told somebody, the youth, to take their Bibles to school. It's unpopular. The way of God will be unpopular, right? If I seek to please men, I cannot please Christ. And again, Proverbs tells us, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So if I fear man and I follow what they do and say, simply to gain approval, or so I'm not ridiculed or made fun of, he says this is a snare. The end is a trap. But then he says, but when I trust the Lord, this is where I find safety. This is where there's safety. So how can we develop self-control? If you think about it, say, you know, Abuna, I have a problem with self-control. How can I begin to maybe train myself to control the self? The first one is fasting. Fasting. As we know, fasting is meant to discipline the body and bring it under subjection, right? It's not to torture the body, because when we look at food, we get two things from food. We get pleasure and we get nourishment, right? When we fast, it's to take away the pleasure but keep the nourishment, right? So we're not against the body, nor do we want the body to suffer, right? But it's just the pleasure of food. So that's why there's no dairy and no meats, because typically these are the foods that give us the most pleasure, right? Fasting, since the beginning of Christianity, even before, has held such a high regard in a person's spiritual life. Because the Fathers taught us, if we can control our stomach, we can control every other aspect in our body. And that's why you'll find in the stories of the desert fathers, they grow to great extent in their fasting. Because the more they go in their fasting and grow in their fasting, the more they're able to discipline not only their bodies, but their thoughts as well, their mind, right? So the whole body can be under control. Not just my actions, but my thoughts as well. Listen to what St. John Cassian says. He says, a clear rule for self-control has been handed down by the fathers in this. Stop eating while you are still hungry and do not continue until you are satisfied. So he says, when you fast, he says, stop eating when you're still hungry. So I'm eating here just for the nourishment, but I don't continue for the pleasure. And he gives us another practice. Do not continue until you're completely satisfied. How many of us can practice this during the days of fasting? We're now, in a season where there's no fasting until the Nativity, but we fast Wednesday and Friday. How many of us fast Wednesday and Friday? This is a church-recognized fast, to fast Wednesday and Friday. Actually, this is one of the fasts that was commanded by the apostles. One of the very first fasts. It was written in the Didache. for them to fast on Wednesday and Friday. But how many of us keep it? We say, it's no big deal. It's not a major thing. But again, it gives us the opportunity throughout the whole year to practice self-control. Do we do it? There's a certain element of restraint and moderation in fasting, and I hope we all can perhaps begin to develop self-control by beginning to fast and fasting more serious. Second thing is to serve one another. I'm not saying here serving in Sunday school, but to serve one another. Do something for someone else besides yourself. Giving up what you are free to enjoy for the sake of others. Giving up what something I'm free to enjoy for the sake of others. Whether that be my money, whether it be my time, whether it be, volunteering in something. Giving up something of yours that you're free to enjoy for somebody else. Putting somebody else before yourself. This will teach us self-control, because it's going to deprive us of something we desire, right? To giving something to someone else. Sharing with one another, serving with one another, or serving one another. St. Paul tells us, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. What's he referring to here? So he's referring to the meat that was offered to idols. Back in the Jewish custom, it was forbidden that anyone eat meat offered to idols because they believed that you were participating in idol worship. But as Christians, we're free from this because everything that God gave us is good. But he says, so with this freedom, we have a certain responsibility, right? I'm free to eat whatever I want to, but then if eating something offends my brother, then I will not eat it simply so that I don't offend my brother. This cannot be accomplished without self-control. We often hear, sometimes kids will find, we'll do camps in the church during times of fasting. And everybody has their own way of fasting with their father of confession. So you might hear, Abuna, today's not my day of fasting, and we're on a trip together to Six Flags or whatever. Can I get ice cream? And I tell them, no, Habib, you can't get ice cream because we're fasting as a church, right? So as when we're a church, we fast together. Perhaps today is not your day of fasting as arranged by your father of confession, but because we are together, lest one of your brothers stumble by you eating the ice cream, refrain from eating the ice cream. So refrain from this. This is serving. The other and the last point to develop self-control is to acquire spiritual friendships. To acquire spiritual friendships. When we surround ourselves with friends who have spiritual maturity, they will become a source of support and enhancement for spiritual growth and maturity. When I surround myself by spiritual friend, this will encourage me to discipline myself. And perhaps I'll be held accountable before them. So if I'm with a group of spiritual friends and a bad word in my mouth, you know that they're going to say something to you. Then you know that they're going to hold you accountable. But if the friends that I choose to surround myself with, when I find myself slipping and saying something like a curse word, they then egg me on and they also participate. Or if I say, somebody says an inappropriate joke and I laugh, will they look at me and just by that look, I know that perhaps I did something wrong? Or are they encouraging me to laugh with them? Or if they see something that's inappropriate on the net, are they laughing and giggling and making jokes about this? Or do they have a serious face, perhaps a face of disappointment, that rebukes me and says, you know what, we shouldn't be doing this. We need to surround ourselves with spiritual friends, and you know what, we need to be those spiritual friends. I hear this, but I don't believe it, but I hope it's not true. The youth will come and say, Abuna, there's nobody that doesn't do this particular sin, even in the church. Be that good friend. Be that spiritual friend. Make a decision today to exhibit self-control. And this is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and we ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and I to exhibit this self-control. But make the decision today to be that good friend. I'm going to stop saying these words. I want to be a positive influence for my brethren, especially here in the church. May God grant us, His grace and this gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to exhibit the self-control, to be able to practice it by fasting, serving one another, and to be and acquire spiritual friends. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.